Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now, shop.asmia1.com, to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line. You can also find some sales goalkeeper products on our website. Use code SOS for a 10% discount of all products. Also, make sure you follow our social media pages for regular offers and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Season of Sports with me, Asmir Begovic. Great to be with you once again. Joining me, as always, my amazing producer, Joe Ovenall. Joe, how are you, mate? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Thanks for having me again, Asmir. How are you?
No, I'm really good. Thank you. Thanks for doing such a great job putting all these shows together for us. We've got a great one lined up. Top guest this week, Andy Brassel, European football analyst and writer. So we're going to go through some of the European leagues. It's a good way. Third of the season done, so let's catch up on everything. What's going on in Europe? Keep our listeners and everyone updated as to what's going on. But let's go around the world of sport and see what's happened in the last couple of weeks. We'll start with the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs, New Orleans Saints, all looking very, very, very strong. The New Orleans Saints, I have to give them a special shout out there. They look fantastic. Beat the LA Rams at home a couple weeks ago and steamrolled the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday. So they're on fire. Things got a little bit naughty at the Brazilian Grand Prix, Joe. Max Verstappen hitting out at Ocon for ruining his race, I believe in the 44th lap, while he was leading and running into him. He did finish the race at second. So it wasn't all doom and gloom for Max Verstappen, but obviously never nice to not get the win when he would have expected to. In the world of boxing, Tony Bellew has finished his career. He fought Alexander Usyk in Manchester, and he lost in an 8th-round knockout, unfortunately for him. I thought he gave it a great effort. Top marks to Tony for giving it his absolute best, and we wish him all the best in the future. And last but not least, a huge trade in NBA happened. We mentioned it on Twitter, and we had got a little bit of feedback from different people. Jimmy Butler has finally been traded from the Minnesota Timberwolves to the Philadelphia 76ers. Dario Saric going the other way, Robert Covington going the other way also to Minnesota, plus a future draft pick. Now, I think it's a good move for Jimmy. This is barring that he signs the extension, because if he doesn't, I know he can't officially agree signing an extension, but if he doesn't stay in Philadelphia long term, this is one heck of a price to pay for just a rental. But I think he'll fit in well with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. He'll give him that toughness, that all-around game to make these guys a championship contender. So huge news from the NBA. As always, that league keeps us on our toes every single week. So we can't wait for the next big storyline to come out of there. And now we move on to our chat with Andy Brassel and European football. Now it's time to talk some football, and here to talk some European football is our European football specialist, Andy Brassel. He writes for The Guardian. He's also on the Continent podcast host. He also does some work for Talk Sport, Talk Sport 2. Have I missed anything, Andy? Welcome to the show.
I think that will more or less do us for now, Asmir. How are you?
No, I'm really good, thank you. I know you're a busy guy, so really, really appreciate you joining me here on the Season of Sports. It's a great time of year. We've got the international break. You know, I just thought it's a great time to see how the season's gone so far. We're about a third of the way through, so it's a nice time to chat about all things. And I guess the topic I wanted to start on, you know, everyone knows about the Premier League, but I wanted to focus in on the continent and the other countries. And I think the main story for me, which has drawn a lot of suspense and interest, is Thierry Henry taking over Monaco. I think it's been a tough start for him at Monaco. What do you make of his tenure there so far, and how the situation looks going forward?
Well, I think we have to say, first off, you have to give a bit of admiration to Thierry Henry, because when he's put himself out there for a head coach's job, and it would have been very easy for him to sit in the Sky studio and make plenty of money, he's put his reputation on the line. He's gone out there not looking for an easy job. He talked to Bordeaux, he talked to Villa, neither of which are straightforward, and nor is Monaco. Maybe Monaco's the most difficult of the lot, but it's becoming more apparent as he gets into the job. And you know, it looks beautiful on paper, him going back to the place where he started as a player, as a pro. But the fact is, Monaco's changed immeasurably in the 20 years that he's been away. And it's changed immeasurably in the last year, year and a half as well, hasn't it? And the fact is they've sold a lot of players in that time, but it's not just that. It's the other stuff that's going on off the pitch. I think you look at the change of sporting director with Michael Emanalo coming in. The fact that some of the players they've got in haven't really been of the requisite quality and haven't really settled. Too many experienced players have gone, and really they're the victim of their own success in that sense. And also, the owner, Dmitry Rubovalev, and his legal problems. He's being charged with corruption and bribery, and he's trying to sell the club as well. So things aren't on an even keel off the pitch. And then you put a team that's got no confidence on top of that, that has an enormous injury list, and has a head coach who, no matter what his name, is very inexperienced at this level. I don't think people sold it to him as Monaco in a relegation struggle, but that's exactly what they are in, and that's what they need to get used to and be able to deal with.
Talk about throwing yourself into the fire. This definitely would fit that definition, what Thierry has done. And, you know, it seems like a very tough job for him, first and foremost. And I think it's a difficult league as well, because you're going to have PSG, who are, you know, most likely going to run away with the league, and so far won every single game. It's always a tricky job, because what is the ceiling for a team like Monaco? How far can they go with all that turnover of players? It's very difficult to keep that continuous success going. So, like you said, I have a huge amount of respect for Thierry for taking this challenge on. It's great for him. I hope they show a bit more patience. I hope they give him the time that is required, hopefully, to turn things around and you know, really get going there. So I think that was my main topic in France. Now moving on to the Serie A, Andy. The biggest storyline of the summer, of course, was Cristiano Ronaldo joining Juventus. He seems to finally hit his stride, potentially making Juventus stronger than before. I know that disappointing result against Man United last week, but again, I think overall the team is looking very, very strong. What are your thoughts on Cristiano so far and things in Serie A?
Well, I think it's interesting, Azir, because ideally, I think they would have liked to give him a little bit more rest by now. Because really, what they need him for is not to win Serie A. They can win Serie A without him, and they've proven that over recent seasons. But they need him to peak in the second half of the season. And he's played pretty much every game so far. But on the other hand, I think the benefit to Juventus of this, and the benefit to Cristiano Ronaldo, is the fact that they've had to work out a way of playing with him, which has not been as simple as it might have been. He's replacing a player in Higuain, who's very, very different. Higuain is a lot of effort, a lot of press off the ball. Cristiano Ronaldo is not that, and all the better for it, I think. But the thing is that they've worked out that the best thing with him is sort of going back to the future. They've played with him very successfully on the left side of attack, a position that he looked like he'd left behind him. So they're kind of ahead of the eight ball, really, Juventus. They normally work out where they are tactically for the season about January, February, and that's how they go for the rest of the Champions League. I think they know where they are already, and they've hit on a pretty good formula. The question is, can they keep the momentum going, and can they keep enough freshness in the tank for that second half of the season? But the way he's fit into the way they play is already ahead of schedule, I would say.
Well, no, I think it's been great to see, and I think something else that I've noted is Wojciech Szczesny, you know, doing pretty well in filling the boots of Gigi Buffon, so which is never an easy feat for anyone. So I think he's done really well, in my opinion. In terms of Italy, before we move on, anything else stuck out to you? I mean, Mauro Icardi, his form, his key goals, his clutch goals. I think he's been obviously one people have probably seen, and he's caught the eye, I'm sure.
Yeah, he has, Azmir. And he's a player who, again, is sticking to what he's best at. You know, a lot of people will say this guy has only 15, 16 touches a game. Well, fine. I don't want him to run himself into the ground off the ball like other strikers. You know, he's the deadliest in front of goal that there is, pretty much, with the possible exception of Cristiano Ronaldo. So, you know, more power to him, and I think he should keep doing that. Also, I think elsewhere in Serie A, you have to have a word for Carlo Ancelotti. He's done an incredible job so far at Napoli. Not easy picking up from Maurizio Sarri, who had a particular philosophy of football, a very different philosophy of football and motivation to the one that Ancelotti himself has. But he's changed from the guy who fell a bit short, if we're being truly honest, at the top level at Bayern Munich. And they're feeling the benefit of it in the Champions League. You know, they're in a good position to qualify from what was a very difficult group from the off. And his experience is really, really showing in those Champions League games, I think. And you look at the way he tactically outwitted Liverpool and Paris Saint-Germain in that first game in Paris. It's very impressive and shows that even though Ancelotti's got all those decades of experience behind him, that he's still learning new stuff.
Andy Brassel joining us here in the Season of Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andy Brassel for the latest updates in European football. Now, Andy, appreciate the Serie A and league updates. Now we move on to the Bundesliga. And I think obviously the main storyline is Dortmund leading the way, but I think more so the struggles of Bayern Munich. Niko Kovac took over in the summer. And I do have sympathy for him because I think, you know, I'm a Bayern Munich fan myself, and there is going to be a transition period, I think, happening at Bayern Munich. And as Uli Hoeneß stated the other day, things are going to start changing. Some of the older players will have to move on. Key players like Robin, Ribéry. I'm not sure what's going to happen to Thomas Müller and those sorts of guys. But there is transition there. It's a difficult job. He's doing okay, but obviously, as far as Bayern Munich expectations goes, he should be a top league, but he isn't. What are your thoughts on Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga so far?
Well, I think you're right in that Kovac deserves a little bit more time. He should get a little bit more time. I think there's a realisation at Bayern, as you say, that there's an ageing team, and just getting rid of the coach isn't going to change that. It was interesting hearing Uli Hoeneß talk at length after the game against Dortmund, where they lost at the weekend, and saying, you know, you've got to look forward to not just when Coman and Tolisso are back from injury in 2019, but also next summer when we're going to spend a lot of money. Now, if I didn't know Bayern any better, I think he was writing off the rest of this season and saying that we can't do what we want to do with the current set of players. And it was interesting hearing Lucien Favre, the coach of Dortmund, and some of the Dortmund players saying afterwards that the chat they had in the dressing room at halftime in the Clásico when they were losing 1-0 was, well, Bayern have been unbelievable in this first half. They can't possibly keep it going in the second half. And there's an acknowledgement that Bayern can press and harry and suffocate, but they can't do it for the whole 90 minutes. And where is that performance? I think you have to look at the improvement of Dortmund, because where is that performance? I think probably would have been enough to win the Clásico, probably 9 out of the last 10. Dortmund have improved so much, and they've got so much punch off the bench, which throws what Bayern have or don't have into quite sharp relief.
No, absolutely. Dortmund have made huge improvements, like Paco Alcázar coming in, Axel Witsel, strengthened the team, and obviously the coach, Lucien Favre. So they've done really well. Another maybe surprise package, I guess you could say, is Borussia Mönchengladbach. They find themselves in second place at the moment. They're doing really well, and we'll see if they can keep it up. I wouldn't give up on Bayern Munich just yet. I think plenty of games still to go, and I'm sure they'll make a comeback. Obviously, one of the other storylines before we move on to the Champions League is Schalke. Struggling a little bit this year. So we'll see how they go on. But before I let you go, Andy, I just want to get your thoughts on the Champions League so far. It's been four match days. Who's kind of stuck out to you? Any teams are looking great? I know it's early. I know everything kind of sort of happens in the knockout stages. But you mentioned likes of Napoli, Carlo Ancelotti doing really well. Anyone else that's stuck to you, maybe as early favourites for the Champions League?
Well, I think you have to look at how short Barcelona have fallen since they last won it in 2015. But Leo Messi said at the start of the season, this year we owe it to the fans to make a better job of the Champions League. And they're playing like they mean it. You look at the way they played against Spurs at Wembley, and they don't save that sort of form for La Liga normally. You know, they coast through games, but they're really full on in that they want to give a much better impression in the Champions League this season. As you say, Asmir, it'll only really count in the knockout stage of the Champions League, but it's pretty clear that they mean it. I think Juventus, as I said, are in a good place already. And Napoli are really interesting because they've got a squad that they're very prepared to use now. Sarri wasn't really that into rotation, but Carlo Ancelotti has proved that he is, and he's very tactically adaptable as well. So it's interesting to see him have a go at the Champions League with a new team. And also, I think I have to have a little word for Ajax as well. Really impressed with them. They've got an exciting young team this season. They've gone and already got draws at Benfica and Bayern, which is very, very impressive. Their away form has been a problem in Europe for a long time, way back to even when they got into the final of the Europa League. It was on the back of brilliant performances in Amsterdam, but they could barely string two passes away out of the Netherlands. That's changed this time under the coach, Erik ten Hag. I think the additions of Dusan Tadic and David Blind from the Premier League have been really good, adding to the talented young likes of Donny van der Beek and Frankie de Jong. So I think Ajax would be an interesting dark horse when it comes to the last 16.
Well, it all remains to be seen. I do like Ajax. I like what they've done. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way in the Champions League. Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining us here in the Season of Sports, giving us some great insight on all of the European leagues, as always. I appreciate you coming on and hope to speak to you again very, very soon.
My pleasure. Speak to you again soon, Arthur.
Thank you. What a great guest Andy Brassel was. Some amazing insight on all the European leagues. Love talking to him. Always get smarter talking to him. But now it's that part of the show. And over to you, Joe, for the huddle.
Oh, yes, we have plenty for you today, Asmis. So the first one we're going to go is Jay on Twitter. And he said, what on earth is going on with my beloved Raiders?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. What is going on with the Raiders? ultimately, it's the rebuilding in Oakland. I think getting themselves ready for the big move to Vegas, which I feel sorry for the Oakland fan base. You know, they don't deserve a team like this. I guess 1-8 at the moment in time. The owner, Mark Davis, has taken full responsibility for it. He has to. He's given the coach a 10-year deal. So it's all on the owner. And I think they're rebuilding. They've got five first-round draft picks in the next couple of years. So they're definitely getting themselves ready for their move to Las Vegas, which I know is unfortunate for all the fans in Oakland at the moment.
Okay, moving swiftly on to Jake on Instagram. How long do you think Man City, Liverpool and Chelsea can all remain unbeaten for in the Premier League this season?
Well, it's unusual to say they've gone unbeaten for 12 games. It's going to be tough, I think. You know, of course, the Christmas period, the festive period, I think over the next three or four games, someone's going to fall for sure. There's going to get, fixtures are going to pile up unbelievably. So, impressive for them so far to stay unbeaten, but I think in the next month or so, these guys will probably suffer defeats at some point.
Yeah, it's just so impressive though, isn't it? Having three teams still unbeaten. Marcus on Instagram has said, which rookies have caught your eye in the NBA this season so far?
Great question, Marcus. I really like that. Starting with my Phoenix Suns over the DeAndre Ayton, our first overall pick. It's made a steady and solid start. I think he'll get better as the team functions better. Lost a lot of games, a lot of dysfunction in Phoenix at the moment. So I think as time goes on, he has to get strong. I think I especially mentioned the likes of Trae Young at Atlanta. He's been very, very impressive. Luka Doncic for Dallas has also made a huge impact in the league so far. So those are the three guys I'd like to mention so far. But a really high-class draft class this past summer that has come into the NBA this season. And a lot of these guys doing really, really well. And it's amazing to see.
Okay, and Ugabu on Facebook says, do you think Man United will make the top four this season?
Oh, I think so. I think Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea will get the first three spots, and then the other spot will be between Man United, Spurs, and Arsenal. And I think one of those teams will obviously get it. Man United, with their experience, will put them at fourth in the moment, but it could really go to any of those three teams.
Okay, and last but not least is another one from Facebook from Alden, and he says, what's the difference between this year's Bournemouth and last year's? Where have the big improvements come from?
Well, that's a great question. I've been asked that a lot. Overall, great start for us. First last couple of weeks, a little bit disappointing, but overall, great start. We're sitting in a really good position. I think, we've had a great preseason from the first day of this year. We came in with a huge intent to start the season well. I know historically we've been slow starters, so from that point of view, we didn't want that to happen again. So I think from that way, the intensity and the focus was in from the first day. And we played some really good teams in preseason, and that carried on as the season went on. So a little bit of luck, of course, our way as well. But overall, I think just the intensity and intent from the first day of preseason is what gave us a great start. But I think that is all for now. All the questions, Joe, that was a blast. Great show. Really enjoy the huddle. Everyone, make sure you keep listening to us. We're on Audioboom. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts from, listen to us, leave us a review. Please let us know what you think of the show, and we can't wait to be with you again very, very soon.